Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down between Jew and Gentile to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. Now, two of my most favorite people in the healing ministry, Charles and Francis Hunter, many of you are familiar with their ministry. They were really pioneers in the healing ministry. And just recently, Francis has been promoted, and she went home to be with the Lord. And I have on the telephone her daughter, Joan Hunter. And I asked Joan, did her mother know that she was ready to go? And what did you say, Joan?
Yes, she did. She told me that, you know, she knew that she was getting ready to go. And she says, don't worry. You know, my last breath here and my next breath will be with Jesus.
And but even though there's still the human element, there's a natural process called grieving. And there are many that are listening to us, Joan, that have gone through this grieving process or are still in the grieving process. But I have seen over the years that sometimes it almost gets demonic, and they're in the grieving process much longer than they should be. How did this work with you?
Well, in my particular case, any time that there is a traumatic experience, a death, many times, all the time, it will affect the heart and can open up the door for a spirit of trauma and a spirit of grief. And I felt that grief coming on me about a week or two after my mom had gone. And I said, grief, you cannot make your home in me. And I said, any spirit of grief, any spirit of trauma is commanded to go. I felt my voice weakening, which a lot of times trauma will settle in the voice and the vocal cords. And I said, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I command every bit of trauma and grief to leave my body in Jesus' name. And it instantly left, and I said, hallelujah, and my voice was completely back to normal, just instantly like that. And it was absolutely awesome what God has done in my life through this time, that I say, okay, you don't have to deal and put up with the spirit of grief. And now I have actually proven it, that you don't have to put up with it, that you can get rid of it. And now there's a time of loss, and I miss my mom, and I miss her calling me and leaving me voicemails and saying, you know, how many miracles did you have and the service and things like that. And, you know, and it's like, you know, I want to tell her about my new book and how well it's doing, but she's not there to tell. And so there's a natural missing of the communication that I had with my mom here on the earth. But the heaviness, the grief, the sorrow, the trauma of my mom, you know, with her death, is just not there. And it is so miraculous what God has done in my life. And as you know, through the years, that my life is a testimony of, if God can do it for me, God can do it for anybody.
Yeah, you know what I'm thinking about as you're speaking, because I'm thinking about your mother. And I go back many, many years with your mother and father. And I remember as a new Jewish believer going to one of their meetings, and they would lay hands on people and they'd be slain in the spirit. And it wasn't that well known back then. It was kind of a rarity for that to happen. And I remember she said, well, anyone else that wants to do it, just we want everyone to. Just come up and lay hands on people. I remember going up and laying hands. I was just in the audience, laying hands on people, and they started being slain in the spirit. I was so astounded.
You're a real believer at that point.
Oh, I was. But one of the thoughts that I have as I'm speaking to you is how inadequate you felt to step into their shoes. And as a matter of fact, what did you share with me about your mother's mantle?
Well, stepping into what God has called me to do, being their daughter, was hard enough. And people tried to make me a second generation Frances Hunter. And as in comparison to me being a first and only generation of Joan Hunter and what God has called Joan to do. And I was sharing with Sid about the mantle is that 2 weeks before my mom died, she has this beautiful necklace with diamonds and everything, and in the center of it is a heart. And she says, I want to put it on you. Her fingers were no longer nimble. She just couldn't do it. And so I leaned forward as the caregiver actually put the necklace on me, and she symbolically put the necklace on me, and she says, wear this for me. And she says, with my necklace, I give you my mantle. And instantaneously, from that moment on, there has been, 2 weeks before she left, a dramatic difference in the services of getting an increased anointing because of the mantle. And it has been amazing. And even the number of people that are getting slain in the spirit in the services has increased. And the miracles that have happened. And just in the last 2 weeks, I've seen thousands of healings.
Well, I have to say this publicly. We had, when you did our radio and television show last, we had more miracles occur than anyone I had ever interviewed. So I can't wait to see what's going to happen with this increase for the radio and for the television. But I'm also reminded of a young girl that was literally forced by her mother to come out of her comfort zone. Is that true?
Yes. And I remember traveling with mom and dad, when I was in my early 20s, and I'm past my mid-50s now. But when I was in my early 20s, and I knew that people didn't come to see me, they came to see them. And it was like dealing with, people wanting to see mom and dad rather than, just I don't care who prays for me, I just want Jesus to heal me. And, to this day, I will never compare to my mother. But I'm not supposed to compare to my mother. I'm supposed to be, I'm her daughter. I have a lot of similarities because she is my mom, but I'm not my mom. But having to deal with such a strong personality as she had, and it did cause me to go to the background, to not be seen, to go to the big curtain and hide. But when I knew that God had called me to come out from behind the curtain, to come out from my comfort zone and my hiding, and that God could use me just as much, if not more, than my mother.
And you've been very public you were devastated by a divorce and thought that would be the end of your healing ministry.
That would be the end of every ministry.
Sure.
And, and being forced with divorce 10 years ago, it's hard to believe. But, he was living a double life as a homosexual. And because of that lifestyle, God had released me to get the divorce because, in covenant with somebody, you're also involved in that lifestyle, whether you're actually participating in it or not. It's a form of condoning it. And God just says, I freed you up. And it was like people were telling me, God can't use you anymore because you're divorced. And I'm like, well, how come, these people are still getting healed and this is happening, but people say that you can't use me? And at that point, I just looked up to God and I said, what am I supposed to do? And he says, just remember, they're not the ones that called you. I am. And that gave me so much freedom, knowing that God was the one who called me. God forgave me of a divorce, even though it wasn't my fault. Any part of it, and actually getting a divorce was forgiven. And it enabled me to go on and to be all that God had called me to be. And even though his unfaithfulness to God and to me, meaning my ex-husband, that did not mean that I was not faithful to God. And God has seen my faithfulness through these years, and he has certainly met my need in every area, and it's just been incredible. It's very easy to succumb to the word divorce and this, that, and the other, and the loss of your spouse. Children or whatever, and parents. And we can succumb to that and allow it to shut us down. Or we can, in turn, allow it to build us up into all that God has for us.
Well, I am so excited about the two books that we're making available. One is your brand new book. It's so brand new, but it's sold out, and you're almost sold out of the second printing of it, but it is brand new, called Power to Heal. And I have to tell you, you've got some, this is the way I look at it. It's, we have, you spend 40 years in the healing ministry, most of that time with your parents. So we have their generation, what they imparted to you, and then what the Holy Spirit imparted to you to build upon what the foundation they gave you. So it's almost two generations of studying healing and being in understanding every facet of healing. And I have to tell you, the reason we're putting your two books together, and the other book is Healing the Whole Man Handbook, is this is such a wonderful book. You explain in layman's terms what a physical condition, what's going wrong with someone physically. Then you explain how to minister to that person to get them healed. And it's like you have an alphabetical index of each disease. And I mean, I don't know anyone that understands healing like your parents understood healing and like you understand healing. And why is the new book, Power to Heal, so popular now?
This book has really taken off, and I'm really excited about it. But this book deals with the root causes of sickness, what brings sickness on, such as trauma, stress, generational curses brought down through the bloodline. What about a blood transfusion? On and on and on. You can live a stress-free life. You can, the average person can't fathom that. But you can actually live a stress-free life. And the book, Power to Heal, will tell you how to get rid of all trauma.
We're out of time. I'd like to make both books available to you. It's for a donation of $28 or more, Healing the Whole Man Handbook, and the brand new one, Power to Heal. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.